Ready? Ready? Ready?
Saturday, August 3rd, 2020.
Coming to you live from Bitcoin Grove.
No system issues will stop us. This is Chimp.
This is Captain Brunch.
And we're back with Saturday Night Lit. That's right. We're going to
boost
the hell out of this place.
Yeah, this place could use a little boost. It's kind of lifeless when we got here, so we brought the energy.
We brought the boost. Oh, it was still playing.
You okay, champ?
Are you okay or are you okay?
Because I'm okay.
Am I right? Am I right? What's up, Brunch?
A little bit of this and a little bit of that.
So let me get my counter.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to mess with you.
What kind of a counter is this? Is this like a distance counter, like that guy Cook used to try to kill Trump.
When you're hunting deer? No, this is going to be a words that Brunch says counter.
Oh my gosh, you're starting the show off with such a negative attitude. You just expect so little of me, Senor Chimp.
Hold on, is it words that Brunch says or words that Brunch say?
Says or said?
Words that Brunch say.
It's no, like, it's not say. Says.
Says. Okay, that's what I have. Okay. So
anyway, so why are you castigating me so early in the show?
Because it's. What else am I gonna do? Anyway, so what you got for
us? You could try
today?
To build me up. You could try to support me. You could try to, you know,
you're doing like, fantastic. Just fill me up with love. You're doing wonderful. Oh my God! Listen to that audience.
Thank you. So touching, so touching.
All right, get out of here.
So today I finished doing ADR with Christopher for the Bitcoin Executor.
Oh.
So we did our second scene, and ADR stands for Automatic Digital Replacement.
Mm. Makes you sound like an android.
Yeah, so, he played the scene for me, and then we broke it up into segments. And I just recorded the audio for those segments, and it was a good little work session.
So these were the voiceovers,
not voiceovers, they're dubs. You know, so
dubs like, rather. Yeah,
we're replacing
right
the original audio. Just to replace it with audio that was like a bit more clear, I guess, and. Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting process. One of the things about it is that, the technology is really fascinating. This technology he's using, it shows you the waveform, and the way that he can manipulate the waveform is very fascinating. Like he can make a sentence shorter and longer. He can make a word shorter and longer, and the software just digitally, you know, stretches or compresses and
time stretch.
Yeah, so
yeah,
like it's not even that important that my lips match what the character in the video is saying. Although I get pretty good at that, but like, you know, getting the same cadence because
just a flex, you know.
Well, anyway, so yeah, it was a good little session. This I think is a little bit easier than the acting, in all honesty. It's
what was the name of the movie again? ADR?
That's not the movie. The movie is The Bitcoin Executor. We were doing ADR, which is Automatic Digital Replacement. What are you? Are you looking it up?
No, I thought it was the name of the movie. So you were dubbing.
Bitcoin Executor. Yeah, we were dubbing.
So why are they calling it Automatic Digital Replacement?
Well, that's apparently like a term, an industry term. So
wait, can you say it one more time?
Choke on it. Oh.
I didn't know what you were trying to do to me. So
you're supposed to go automatic digital replacement.
Okay, well, let's try one more time. All right.
Automatic digital replacement.
You're not supposed to laugh.
Anyway, so.
It's too loud.
Anyway. What are you doing to me?
No, you're fine.
I'm fine. Didn't you say you wanted to take my gain?
Keep talking.
I'm going to keep talking while Chimp does a sound check. Testing,
on the
testing.
Fly. No, you keep talking about three. Whatever you usually say.
Yeah, so you just ignore me?
Huh? Keep talking?
Yeah. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
Anyway,
so it's a nice day. I could kind of get into acting. I could definitely. I think I said this the last time too. I could get into voice acting, voiceovers. It's a lot of fun. It's challenging, not physically, but
less so than your current job.
That's for sure. Just saying the same line over and over again. There's something frustrating about it. At one point, my character says the word "walking" in a sentence, and I noticed that I kind of dropped the G in the word "walking," and so for some reason, I tried to do some takes where I emphasize the G, walking instead of walking. You know, like I was walking down the street, and it's like I was walking down the street. And so then Christopher's like, okay, you need to stop doing that.
Sagger.
Yeah, it's interesting. So that's it for me and the Bitcoin Executor. I am very excited to see this film. I think it's like the non-fantasy. Even though I don't know the full script, but I feel like it's the non-fantasy Alice in Wonderland about Bitcoin.
Ooh. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm just in maybe the sense of like a hero going on a journey in a strange land and then kind of being taught lessons, maybe.
I know you're just trying to like build up the suspense and you know, start telling the tales about your future rise to stardom, but I support it.
We shall see. We shall see. So if anyone has any voice acting work, you can go ahead and contact my agent. We can figure something out.
And you can go ahead and continue doing recorded versions of all your speeches.
Yeah. Yeah. I should be. I've only got 10 more to go. Oh, I need to do one for tomorrow or not. Whatever.
It's hard to count, but I got 6 so's and 5 ums.
Oh gosh, that's what you're counting. I thought it was the curse words, but
no, I got tired of that.
It was my ums and have you done likes and basically?
It was too much to like
to follow.
Yeah, I'm like I can't.
Oh man, it's very prevalent.
We'll just get AI to do it.
I need to consider my words before I say them.
Prevalent prose. Okay. Possible show title. All right. So what do you got for us?
According to Democrat wunderkind David Shore, who rose to some form of political fame during the Obama campaign for being very good at running numbers about polls, about people's attitudes towards politicians and things like that. According to this guy, David Shore, Maduro stole the election. Based on, Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela, according to the numbers presented by the opposition. So all those details are kind of important because the numbers were presented by the opposition. We don't necessarily know that those numbers are accurate or true. In a way, however, this is an important difference between what happened in the 2020 election that Donald Trump says was stolen. The Republicans don't have an alternative version of the election.
Yeah.
They don't say, well, these are our numbers. You know, these are our exit polls. What they're saying is that the votes were stolen, but they don't. I think this is a big difference, therefore. In the Venezuelan situation, they're saying that they have all these exit poll data that's showing them that they should have come out a certain way. When it comes to, let's say, Donald Trump and Georgia, they have that recorded phone call with that perfect phone call that he had with the governor of Georgia asking him to find 11,000 votes. He needed 11,000 votes to win. It's not as though he knew that he should have had 11,000 votes because that's what the polling data showed. That's what exit poll. So I do wonder about that. And I am kind of curious to look into that. I would like to say, however, that it's very possible that the Venezuelan opposition made up those numbers. And they may simply be creating this narrative and using their privileged position in Western media to promote us, you know, the idea to promote the idea that Maduro stole the election, and maybe Maduro did not steal the election. I don't know. Because as I started off saying, that was based on, you know, the idea that Maduro stole the election is based on the numbers provided by
his opposition.
Yeah, his opposition. So only time will tell. Have you heard anything about what's going on in Venezuela?
Yeah, that he won the election, which was what everyone kind of expected, because the assumption is that he controls the entire government.
I somehow have
we're pretty much like, yeah, we're pretty much, at least the United States is trying to be like, well, you know, he stole the election, so now some people are thinking, are we gonna go in and take him out, like use that as a pretext to assert our influence?
I don't think so. After that farce that happened during the Trump administration, and they had that boat full of they sent like a boat full of mercenaries, caught, and they all got arrested. It's just absurd.
That's hilarious. No, I'm sorry, because I know we're live. Check the stream, but in the chat, it's not showing. Okay, it is showing. I'm just not understanding correctly.
You're not understanding what, Chimp? Which is not surprising.
The way the internet works, okay? I want to make sure my tubes were connected to your tubes.
And everyone else's tubes. A little complicated for someone like you.
Well, chimp. I'm just a chimp. I only have one tail.
Yeah.
You can only wag at a certain speed.
Well, if I pray, I pray for Venezuela. And I hope that they are able to resolve this situation. It seems unlikely. I do worry about the potential for civil war.
You think the Venezuelans would rise up? I feel like a good number of them already got the heck out.
Yes, but not everyone has been able to get out.
Yeah, the ones who aren't able to.
And not everyone wants to leave. This is another aspect of it, that not everyone is so willing to leave. I don't think that Venezuela is... like, if we try to compare it to Cuba, they're not arresting and disappearing people to the extent that I think we were accustomed to hear about with Cuba. And so in that sense, they haven't necessarily driven people out, you know, like at the end of a fist, so to speak. In Venezuela, it's much more of an economic decision, perhaps, than a political decision. I think in Cuba, it's oftentimes more of a political decision. Like, I work with I've worked with and known Cubans my whole life, and maybe in older times, there was a lot of people who did leave for economic reasons, but at some point, you run out of rich people, and you just have poor people left. So, like, people who leave Cuba now, they're not generally leaving because they're rich and they're trying to save their wealth. Like, if someone is leaving Cuba now, it's because they can't stand the way the government treats them.
Or they figure they have better economic opportunities here.
Yeah.
Like, the house next to me is full of Cubans. But I realized that the guy owns a cleaning and maintenance service. And everyone in the house works there.
He's got a good gig going.
Yeah.
He's probably paying them all, you know, like bottom bargain.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Rates.
Once again, half of those people came here for a better opportunity.
Yeah, I hope they find it. J.D. Vance had some interesting things to say about...
cat ladies?
Yes, except the particular quote that I found the most worthwhile or of note was when he suggested that children should get votes and those votes should go to their parents.
Yeah, he said recently or something he said 20 years ago?
It was not... The guy's 30-something, right?
Right, like, exactly.
39,
yeah.
So he did not say it 20 years ago. It's something he said like in the last 5 years.
Right, but a lot of things are being brought up if he said like back in 2011 or something like that.
What do you think about that though, dude?
I think that's stupid. You know,
the first thing I thought of, which is kind of odd, was, do you remember the Three-Fifths Compromise?
I mean, they already get tax credits, yeah. We had a conversation about that not too long ago, but yeah.
So this is kind of a modern political equivalent of a Three-Fifths Compromise. It's giving people weight in a way that gives their vote more power, or that would maybe give, I don't know the extent to which children affect the census and the extent to which it affects your representation. I don't know. But of course, J.D. Vance's whole thing is he thinks that people who have children are more wise and are more godly and therefore more deserving of a say in the direction of the country. I've got the feeling that a lot of people without children will have something to say about that.
I have a feeling a lot of people would agree with him.
A lot of people, but I imagine most of them are people with children. You think a lot of people without children would agree with that? Like, would agree to in a way, disenfranchise themselves by de-weighing?
That's a good question, though. I'm going to start asking people that now. You know, hey, so do you think, you know, if you have more children, you should have more votes?
A part of the backlash of this that perhaps J.D. Vance is not considering is that poor people have more children than rich people. So, therefore, poor people are going to have more votes than rich people.
As long as those poor people are on his side.
Yeah, but they're not going to be. This is going to be like, the, you know, J.D. Vance is a Republican. He is not up there fighting for the expansion of welfare and, children, you know, services for children and families. He was Trump's pick to represent the traditional conservative. So I think that kind of speaks for itself.
We'll see. I don't know. I think they're definitely going for a more populist approach with Vance. Like, not necessarily like dirt poor, but like working class. So not necessarily welfare, but like people who just like work their asses off for the rest of their lives and not really get past.
Yeah, but he's a politician.
Yeah, of course. But it's
what he represents. It's not exactly what he is. It's what he. Okay, I got you.
Because Trump definitely can't do that.
Now, speaking of what people represent and what they are, I've been getting this sense that the Republicans are going to be attacking Kamala a lot on her. Like, they're going to be attacking quotes. They're going to be attacking things that she said. And they're not going to be focusing very much on her actual record as a politician. So, like, they're not going to be focusing on her record as a prosecutor and all of the nonviolent drug-related criminals that she put in prison. I don't think they're going to focus on those kinds of things. It's going to be more about, oh, like, she said this and she said that.
She's a slut. She's blah, blah, blah.
That's more something that people say in private. Trump is certainly, and like, this.
Not Trump, but that's the thing, though. Like Trump's not going to say what, like, the people around him are going to say for him. Like the head of the mafia doesn't kill. He has people kill for him, you know?
In the case of Kamala, I
found they say some fucked up shit about her too. Like, I just, like, oh my God, like there's plenty of things to go on after go on her.
Well, what about this? She was always Indian. Suddenly she's black.
You know, Trump, I mean, yes, like she's definitely pandering. She's definitely turning it on. Try to talk to a certain subset of people, and it looks mad fake, but the way Trump said it, it makes it sound so terrible.
Well, I imagine that Kamala does Indian things sometimes.
No, so I think she was mostly raised by her mom.
Yeah, she was. And so it's just, but also as a politician, you often will pander to like voting blocks in your community. And if she was a senator or just any politician of any note of a particular ethnicity, you're likely going to be invited by organizations that represent those ethnicities to participate in events or to maybe they're going to try to lobby you or try to influence you. So I wonder, you don't really hear about that side of her. Like, we know she's Indian, but is she Indian? You know, like, is, like, in the way that Trump was saying that she became a black person, like, is she an Indian person too? Like, does she do Indian things? In what ways does she represent the Indian community in the United States or Indian influence in the world?
Southeast Asian.
India's a country with like 1 billion people.
A lot of billionaires, apparently. Whoa.
Any country with a lot of people is going to have a lot of billionaires. No, I was trying to pick. Anyways, I shouldn't be getting distracted like that.
No, so, but then just to like represent, because like I think her code switching is annoying, but at the same time, like people do that in general. But it's like, I guess like the assumption is that like she doesn't generally talk like that. And she's just doing it at the right moment. Like, so we don't really, really know, but once again, it's a politician and they're going to act, you know, in the most opportunistic ways. So that's why we're so critical.
I believe yesterday, Kamala and Joe, they received some prisoners that were exchanged with Russia. Did you hear about this? And it was an awkward photo shoot where, you know, the first guy gets out and he like gives Biden a hug and talks to Biden for a little while. Then he moves on to Kamala and talks to her for a little while. And then he moves on to his family. And while he's with his family, and then Joe had kind of wandered over to the family, and Kamala's looking at all of them being all happy. And then the second prisoner gets out of the plane and walks down the steps and like no one's looking at him. So then Kamala turns to her left and she sees him. She's like, "Oh, hey!" And it was not very well choreographed.
Weird. No, I didn't see it.
There was a lot of hugging, which I guess you could maybe understand if someone's been in prison imprisoned in Russia, like in a foreign country, without any necessarily expectation, you know, of ever getting out. The third prisoner to get out was a female, and her hug with Biden was so awkward. And Biden does like the forehead touching thing. Do you know that thing about that Biden does? You know, like he just leans in to press his forehead against your forehead.
That's what I do to my dogs.
Yeah, you're creepy. You're creepy.
Well, they love it.
And so to get those supposedly civilians, right? So supposedly one of them was a journalist who was not, you know, he was convicted of spying. It's not to say that the Russian justice system is fair.
I wonder if like they prepped the prisoners before, you know, like, okay, so we're going to go meet the president and we're going to meet the one we're trying to make president. And you know, they're going to do this and you got to say this and you got to do that.
Well, I don't think they say it like that. They probably just refer to Kamala as the vice president.
Right. But I'm like, they're probably being prepped.
They're certainly being prepped in some manner, but
then that one guy just walked off, which is weird.
It was the president and Kamala who were not prepped well on how to, you know, like keep the flow going. And then they should have had someone queuing it, right? Like don't let the next prisoner leave until both the president and the vice president
are
go
gone
back to their position.
So I guess
this is how Democrats run their crap.
I guess Biden Biden gets a pass on that one because of his age. But
oh, certainly. That's why he's retiring, right? Because the guy is like, you know, not quite there.
But
and
Harris,
he's got that face, you know, like he's Biden's so happy. Like everything's like, oh, you know, we did the greatest thing in the world. We got these Americans and we freed them. And like, look at their families all happy to see that. I mean, it's I'm not trying to cheapen the circumstance. It was a very cute, you know, thing. It's nice to see the idea of people being freed. I'm also, however, willing to consider that they were probably all spies. And that's probably why Russia put them in prison. But so to get these supposed civilians, probably spies, because again, it just makes no sense. We freed a Russian assassin. Huh? Like we don't have any Russian political prisoners that we can free. Like we free an assassin for civilians. Strange. So strange.
And it's right on time, right before the election. So
now this was a very weird story, but did you hear about in Israel, in the Israeli legislature, in some committee of the legislature, they were arguing over the right of Israelis to sodomize their Palestinian prisoners? Yes. Yes.
Israeli soldiers or just any Israeli?
Like crowds of Israeli who are trying to break into a prison and rape the prisoners. And this is an argument. This is the depravity of this day and age, that there are, you know, rabid Zionist Israelis who want to stick things up the butts of their male Palestinian prisoners.
Oh, yeah. Not necessarily have sex with them, but just shove items up there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's so, what a world we live in. What a world we live in. I'm wishing the best for that whole situation.
Bring your own bottle.
Oh God. So the big controversy this week, and something that I'm going to probably spend a lot of the rest of the show on, had to do with the Olympics.
Dun dun dun. We need that little sound clip.
Probably has a trademark on it.
We'll make our own.
We talked a little bit about the Olympics last week, right?
I haven't seen anything about the Olympics.
But didn't we talk about it last week?
Yeah, well, I think so, yeah.
Because Adolfo, I was contrasting the fact that conservative people are appalled by it, but liberal people enamored by it.
I finally saw the comparison of the picture with like, and it, to me, I did not scream The Last Supper. It really didn't at all. It was fucking weird, but it didn't scream The Last Supper.
Yeah, I think that oftentimes conservatives are just trying to force feed things into their narrative.
And what you could see like one of the guy's nuts.
Oh, I like hanging. Know. Oh, was it Dionysus, the blue guy?
No.
As Chimp reaches for a phone to look at some guy's nuts.
Well, this podcast I listen to put a picture of it in their
Well, why don't you name drop it?
Blocked and Reported in their newsletter.
That does indeed look like a guy's nuts.
I mean, I don't know if this was Photoshop. It could be very, I was just like, oh my God. All right. Well, didn't watch the Olympics. Are we winning? Is USA winning? Ah,
The big controversy this week was over the allowance of an Algerian and a Japanese, if I recall correctly, boxers into the female boxing competition, despite them having been disqualified by the International Boxing Association for not meeting their criteria for a genetic woman.
So were their nuts hanging out too?
Well, so if you were to go by the headlines or the things that people are screaming about on the conservative
media
sphere, well, what they're saying is basically, or what they're asking is, why are the Olympics letting men beat up women? Mm-hmm. And that's the narrative. And like you even said it, right? Like where there are balls hanging out. So
do they have female sumo wrestlers?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
They should.
So at work, I've got this carpenter friend at work, and I think I've mentioned before that I sit with the carpenters.
Is his name Jesus?
No, he's actually Ukrainian.
They can still use that name in Ukraine.
No. No, they don't have Jesus. I don't even know how they say Jesus in Russian.
Ukrainian.
Kind of interesting. Yeah, same
language. Jesus.
Jesus in Russian. So I sit with this guy, Alex, at lunch. He's a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings up this story about, you know, he says, I only read the headline, so I don't know if it's true. I don't know any of the details. But the headline basically says that the Olympics allowed a man to fight a woman and he beat her up. And everyone's essentially assuming that this is kind of like a trans, you know, someone who transitioned to a woman.
Okay.
And is competing against. So I decided for some reason, because my coworker brought this up, and he wasn't bringing it up.
Co-ed boxing.
No. So apparently it was like an intersex kind of situation. Where they were two people who were born female, who've always identified as female, but they have intersex characteristics.
Jesus. Oh, it's coming on the computer. Sorry.
So the Russians just say Jesus.
Isus.
Yeah, see, so they don't have that. Isus. They don't have Jesus.
But it's spelled I-C-Y-C.
Isus. Isus.
Isus.
Interesting.
Is it?
Thank you, Chin. Thank you. So I looked it up, and the Algerian, it just has to do with this Algerian having a rare genetic trait that produced XY chromosomes and extra testosterone. But this person was not a male who transitioned to female.
They were born like this. Literally.
Yeah. And it's interesting because for a lot of people, they consider that unfair. You know, here's this person who is abnormal. Abnormal by the definition of some definition of normal. Like normal is, normal is a woman who only has XX chromosomes and doesn't have a lot of testosterone.
Yeah,
what's normal.
But I'm sure within every gender or either gender, there's variations. So there's got to be like some guys who are naturally larger or have larger mass, so they're going to be the better bodybuilders. There's some people who are better swimmers because of XYZ variations.
And in certain sports, such as boxing, in boxing, they separate people by weight.
Yeah.
Because the weight is an important factor. Since boxing has a lot of rules about what is legitimate boxing, there are a lot of movements and a lot of interactions that would violate the rules and disqualify you from a round. You know, I don't think it's not karate. It's not grappling. It's not jujitsu. Boxing is boxing. It has certain, I don't know the rules of boxing myself.
You got to punch each other.
But otherwise,
not below the belt.
There are not really other sports that are like that. Generally, the other sports, it tends to be that there are going to be certain builds and certain characteristics that will be better at those things. And the only way that you can really address that is by having different versions of a competition. So with swimming, you have different lengths of distance, different distances. So for, you know, a long distance swim, you need more endurance. And for a short distance swim, it's more of a burst of energy and you're just sprinting.
Right.
And the same thing with running too. It's about distance. And so one imagines that you're probably going to have certain builds perhaps that are better at one versus the other. But we don't generally have, because of the fact that there's only so much you can tell about a person, and because of how rare certain conditions are, we don't account for all of the plethora of possibilities. Like the only way that we really distinguish, besides what I just mentioned in sports, is male and female. And we don't tend to have co-ed sports.
Or even in talent, like singers. Some people are just naturally better singers. And yeah, you got to practice to get better, but some people are just going to practice as much as possible and never get to Celine Dion's level or something, you know?
And I don't necessarily know that, you know, what is fair and what is unfair. I've always, and for a long time, believed that life is not fair. In fact, I wrote sometime earlier today, I wrote that public schools taught me that life wasn't fair. Or that's something I learned in public schools. Not to say that it's exclusive to the public schooling system.
So what's your point? You're saying that conservatives are...
I'm not even close to my point.
Well, come on, Glenn Greenwald, get there.
So I'm a bit of a nihilist. I don't...
Well, let me construct what you're saying so far, as I understand it, because obviously your point's going to go somewhere else.
Let's try.
At least the conclusion in my head is that so conservatives are doing what liberals usually do and just trying to make it, I guess, equitable. Like, oh, you know, like they shouldn't be competing because it's not fair. You know, that's
you raise a very interesting point, and that's actually not what I'm going to be talking about, but that you raise a fascinating point. It's a contradiction or a hypocrisy of the conservative narrative. Human hypocrites, right? There's no escaping it.
Human hypocrites. So that's already one of your episode titles.
Well, that's Premcast, though.
Yeah, I know.
So it's okay. You can steal that title if you want. It's a good title. But actually, what I'm more interested in
nihilism
is the phenomena of like what's going on with the sports themselves. And so, in regards to nihilism, it's more about I don't really believe in. Right and wrong, and for a large category of topics, I don't believe that there is truth. I distinguish between physical phenomena, and not necessarily that these distinctions are bulletproof, so to speak, but I distinguish between physical phenomena and abstract conceptualizations.
Wait, you don't believe that there's truth? But here in my notes, it says Captain Brunch, supporter of the truth. So you've said that at some point.
Okay. So as I'm trying to explain, there are physical phenomena and there are abstract conceptualizations. And we describe with words and language, we describe these things, physical phenomena, such as the color of something. So I think that, you know, without getting too pedantic, not that I even could, we can come to an agreement about the color of things, and that would be true in some useful sense. However, if we were to try to come to a similar conclusion about a concept like, let's say, beauty, an artwork, a song, like a piece of music. Is this piece of music beautiful? I don't think we can come to the same kind of agreement about that as we could about the color of something. Because the color of something is a physical phenomena that in some simple sense exists beyond our...
color is not a good example. But I get what you're saying. Subjective versus objective.
I think color is a great example.
No, because, I mean, people see color differently. Like, if you have...
But we know that...
Like, even my dogs.
We know that because of the fact that the colors themselves are independent of us. The color of something doesn't depend on us. It's like our perception of it is affected by our physiology. If you have color blindness... Or if your eyes work, you know, if you have a different physiology, like a different animal, like your dogs, for instance, but the colors themselves of the things remain constant. And there are lots of ways that we can demonstrate that, and we can measure the color of things. So then even if we don't see the same color, if we were to both use a device working on the same principle to measure the color, we could come to an agreement on what the... What the measurement
the hexadecimal reads, thing you know, is.
Like, okay, do you see that the screen says 001? Yes. okay, so boom, you see the same color. You know, like that's okay. What I mean by physical phenomena. We can sort of reduce it to experimentation and measurement, and then we can come to an agreement about what the measurement
okay,
says.
Okay, point taken. Continue.
Whereas...
we have 20 minutes left. Do you think you get to your point within that time?
I'm pretty far in my point.
Okay, cool.
I'm not that far, but I'm pretty far in my point.
Well, let's take a break. Are back with Captain Brunch and The Point.
The Philosophy Hour.
So what are we learning, Brunch?
So when it comes to something abstract conceptualization, I think of beauty, truth, even the concept of truth, right? Justice. These are ideas that even though they might have... there might be, you know, you turn to a page in a dictionary and you read, oh, what's the definition of beauty? And it's going to say something. But whatever it says doesn't really matter because the experience of beauty is subjective. That's why some people like a band, but other people don't like that same band.
Those people are wrong.
They might be. They might be. It's hard to say. So in that sense... it's not to say that that it is true that you and I both see a white wall.
I forgot how we got here. What were we talking about?
I'm going to get there.
What
I'm
were we
get
talking
there.
About?
So it's not to say that it's true that we both see a white wall, but epistemologically, I would say that it's useful to say that we both see there's
to,
a white wall.
To our listeners, we're surrounded by white walls right now, yeah, by the way.
Obviously. So now let's talk about like the concept of male and female. In a biological sense, we have this idea that the reproduction of humans requires men to provide their semen and women to carry an egg that will get fertilized by the semen and then carry the egg to term, give birth to the child. Raise that child, hopefully for that whole cycle to repeat itself again. And then this is the reproductive process of humans. And there's a dichotomy. We call male the one with the penis that carries the semen.
I prefer sperm donor.
And then we've got female who produces the eggs and carries the egg upon fertilization.
Sperm catcher.
Now, chimp bringing in the flavor. So the flavor of sperm. Now, we tend to confuse this biological dichotomy with a dichotomy of personality. And we call them masculine and feminine. And these concepts pervade all aspects or so many aspects of human culture. You find it in religion and in sociology and astrology, a lot of, you know, you must have heard the terms masculine energy, feminine energy, get in touch with your feminine side.
What's the thing that it's archetype.
Mm-hmm, indeed. But it's a dichotomous archetype. So we're suggesting that the whole world, the whole species gets split down the middle into these two archetypes.
Right.
And I consider this to be a conflation. I don't think...
as most dichotomies are.
Yeah, I don't think that the biological dichotomy of male and female can easily translate or map to a dichotomy of personalities. This is essentially the argument that I'm making. And
men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
Or that no, that like men are from all the planets and women are likewise from all the planets.
Right, but it's something that like we always like people have always talked about. And
well, I don't know that we've always talked about it, but we've talked about it for a long time, and perhaps because we keep talking about it, we keep tricking ourselves into thinking it's true. I think there's a very useful difference between the concepts of gender and sex. I think it's really important to have an understanding of the sex dichotomy, because as a species with a concern for our existence in the future, for our posterity, we need to know how to have babies. We need to know how babies are made. We need to know what's required for that. However, to maintain and run a society, to exist in a society, those things don't matter. Like to eat food, right? A male or a female biology can prepare a meal. To like make a bed in the morning, you know, before someone goes to work, a male or a female biology could, you know, like the many
but
of the,
do they?
Many of the physical actions and activities that humans do on a regular basis, like as part of just as like our normal lives, are completely independent from this biological dichotomy. Like everyone in modern society wears shoes, right? It doesn't matter if you're male or female, you wear shoes. It's just something that human beings do. And not everyone likes the same kinds of shoes, right?
Yeah, I always get made fun of for my toe shoes.
Yeah, I can understand that. So I think that the diversity of genetics, like there's a lot of different genetic genotypes. Excuse my
genetic genotypes.
Right? Excuse me.
genetic genotypes.
And to me, I think that the diversity of genetics implies a diversity of personality. That the fact that there's so many different kinds of genes really means that there's many different kinds of people.
Variety is the spice of life.
Now, as a species, so to speak, we still are encumbered by the male-female dichotomy for procreation. But for pretty much everything else, that's not restricted to that. Now, there are certain things, like there are correlations between male and female biology and certain other stuff. For instance, like people who are born with male biology tend to be a lot stronger than people born with female biology. However, we have this case of the Algerian boxer who was born with female biology but has certain phenotypes that are generally associated with males. But that doesn't mean that they are male genotypes. That's a conflation. Like genes don't know what males and females are. And the genes that like affect the color of your hair don't know about the genes that affect whether you have a penis or a vagina. And we tend to try to kind of dichotomize all of these things. Like, no, like male is all this stuff on the left and female is all this stuff on the right. When the reality is that all the genes are constantly mixing with each other. Like you're, dad gave up half of his genes. Your mom gave up half of her genes. And it wasn't like your mom was like, okay, well, I'm only going to give you the male genes. Like, that's not how it works. The genes are just, they're indiscriminate of sex. Sex biologically is just something that happens when all those genes come together. Like, and sometimes it comes out kind of weird. Compared to the normal, which is just a statistical phenomena. Long story short, so I'm essentially trying to argue that centuries of social conditioning on gender dichotomy create a neurotic, unhealthy, and imperialistic means of addressing and understanding human genders. Which I don't believe that gender is real. I think it's a cultural, social phenomena.
All I want to know is if the Algerian won or not.
So the reason why everyone was getting their panties in a bunch was that...
Or boxers.
The Algerian beat some boxer like in 2 minutes.
Okay, so they
but
won.
Then they lost against an Irish boxer later. So it's just one of these things that like maybe that first boxer just wasn't that good and everyone wanted to get make a big deal about this intersex.
Was it all female boxers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were all female boxers.
So we'll just have an intersex boxing league. We'll have an intersex Olympics.
Yeah. And in some ways, a lot of these arguments that are coming up in this election year, and I feel like it's because it's an election year, it has to do with people confusing belief with identity. We kind of envelop our beliefs into our identity. And I don't think that's healthy. I think it's reasonable for humans to, like, I believe a lot of things. I have lots and lots of opinions. But about so many things, I recognize that I'm not an expert. I don't have sufficient data to draw a reasonable conclusion. So for so many things, even though I have an opinion, I don't take that opinion very seriously because I have such limited information. And yet, as this whole story exemplifies, we are drawing conclusions based on very limited information. You know, we read a headline, you know, it triggers us because we see women getting beat up by men. No, it's injustice. It's not fair. It's not right. And I can agree that it's not fair. But as I said a long time ago, life is not fair. So to exclude this intersex person, as you were saying before, but it's not a joke, though. It was a reasonable argument. Like you are enforcing some notion of equity, of saying that, well, you know, it's like women should only be fighting against other trad women.
Okay.
And intersex people should be excluded because they are not normal. And there's no right answer.
Not to me, that person should, I mean, it'd be great if they became like some legend, some, you know, like they tell stories about this person years and years later, but they lost already. So it doesn't even matter. It's not even that big of a deal. Now, if you're changing your sex and everything and then still competing in these things, then that's something where I'd be like, maybe not, maybe. And then, like, how do you regulate that?
Life isn't fair. Like, so if we're going to live in a society where, not saying that we are going to or that we want to, but if we're going to live in a society where we conflate gender with sex and we confuse gender expression with sex, then we're gonna constantly be dealing with this. This is gonna be the pendulum swing, and
I think humans have done it for a long time. So I'm sure this has come up many times.
Well, that's why I call it the pendulum swing.
Thousands and thousands of years.
Because there's, you know, it's the Hegelian dialectic. So eventually there's gonna be a swing away from the trans stuff and the and the fluidity of human expression, and it's going to swing back towards a very rigid rule, you know, like very stringent concept of identity and self-expression. But it's not necessarily going to be in a way that we expect because culture is always changing.
But then the two ideas will eventually synthesize.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like the new synthesis could be like drag queens become the norm. Like, no, you have to be a drag queen. People forget, or maybe they never knew, that men wore high heels before women did, that men wore makeup before women did, that
for being seen. Oh,
you know, people at court, you've got all these people who are wearing wigs and they were powdering their faces to make their complexion.
But they're consistent. British. They're weird.
It wasn't just British. It was Europeans and in Asia. So we have some concept of masculinity today that is modern. It is of our times. It is not universal. It is not timeless. But we believe that this is the definition of masculine. This is the definition of feminine. And therefore, we extrapolate that back and forward in time, saying like this is always going to be the definition of masculine. This is always going to be the definition of feminine. And it must have always been.
And now, now that we can keep record of everything and anyone can access it at any moment, you'll be able to see things as they change unless someone's controlling the history. But I doubt that. We can't really look back at what, Chinese society was 3,000 years ago, but 3,000 years from now, we'll be able to see what history was like today.
We probably could see that, though, with Chinese history. If you could read Chinese and if you went to China,
they have
a lot of records.
They do, but, not to the point of people with their TikTok videos or our podcast are going to last forever.
That's, this is certainly an interesting thing that you bring up, the plethora of media that we're generating.
Yep.
And that's one of the reasons why I do the podcast is that if we don't do this, if we don't put this out there and express ourselves and just shoot the shit, then
they won't know who Brunch was.
Well, I don't need anyone to know who I am, but let's say they're going to train an AI on all the podcasts. I don't want the only voices to be the voices I don't like. I want to at least have some voices that I do like. And I guess I must like my own voice.
Yes, we all love your voice.
So,
Brunch GPT will be live soon enough.
Indeed. And then they will, it'll be Saturday Night Lit 24/7. It'll just be auto generating for us.
Well, I hope the jokes get better.
Till next time, for Saturday, August 3rd.
That's right. This is Chimp.
This is Captain Brunch.
3 more months of hurricane season. Old Kamala. Wait, no.
Boost!